This is Cruise Control.
Control.
Your on-air automotive magazine with co-hosts Fred Staub and Les Jackson.
Control.
Everything you need to know about new and used cars.
Control.
Industry news. We'll fix or repair your car on the air.
On the air.
Control.
Fasten your seatbelts and let us take the wheel.
Now, your ride is about to begin.
Cruise Control.
Because you're on
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
Cruise Control.
You are on Cruise Control, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are live from Corvettes of Carlisle in Carlisle, PA. Once again, when did we start doing this, Les? Do you remember?
You know, I think it's a good 15 years ago.
I think so. And we love it each and every year because we always get to see a lot of great people and we get to talk to a lot of great Corvette engineers and designers, and it's endless, right?
What's really good is there's a tremendous air of enthusiasm.
And 6,000 Corvettes.
6,000 Corvettes, very proud owners.
Yeah, every year.
Every year
of production is outside, including 2017.
Every single year from 1953 to, hey, next year.
And there's every condition from somebody that pulled it out of a barn to show car.
That is correct. And there are endless numbers of parts stalls where people are selling off, you name it.
Yeah, you can build your own Corvette from parts back there at at Carlisle. That's right.
Great.
Yes, it is our annual special live broadcast from here. 80 acres of fiberglass at Corvettes at Carlisle. And they've come from everywhere, basically. We always meet people from Australia, all over the place, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a place that they don't come from. This is, I guess, the largest Corvette gathering in the world.
I would say we could say that. Yeah.
It is then.
We have a guy that can confirm it. He's going to be coming up in a little bit. Carlisle's Lance Miller is going to update us on what's going on at this year's Corvettes at Carlisle. He tells me he's got special information about the burnout contest last night, but he wouldn't share. Uh-huh. He says I'm going to break news on the air.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for that. Yep. Also, we're going to have Corvette product manager Harlan Charles,
mm-hmm.
an old friend of ours, and the guy with the best job in the industry.
Yeah.
He's going to give us a walk around the 2017 C7 Corvette Stingray, Z06, and the Grand Sport. And then Executive Chief Engineer Taj Jukter, who also is an old friend of ours.
Yep.
Is going to join us for more and maybe even some revealing Corvette information.
Oh, well, we'll see if you hold him down, and yes.
No.
plus, he likes to build horsepower, and he's a great car collector, too. Ken Lingenfelter is going to join us. He's going to tell us how he's pulling more power out of the C7, and not just C7, C5, C6s. Anything, right?
That's right. Somehow he manages to get 700-800 horsepower out of a lawnmower.
that's amazing. Watch those blades spin.
That's right.
Yeah, but he's going to be by all that and a whole lot more when we get rolling on this special edition of our show, Cruise Control Radio, our Corvette edition from Corvettes at Carlisle. Don't forget, we are on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're doing some live Facebook right now, Facebook Live. Go over to cruisecontrolradio.com. You can check that out. When we come back, we're going to get started with Lance Miller. So keep it tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen to the live feed of Cruise Control Radio every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com to find out how to do it. Is your car starting to show its age? Over time, paint becomes oxidized, faded, and scratched. But you can restore that tired paint and repair those scratches with the paint restoration system from 3M. It's an affordable way to make those repairs in your garage in just one afternoon with basic tools. The kit contains all of the restoration products and polishing pads you need to bring your vehicle's paint back to like-new condition. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com.
Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control at Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Corvettes at Carlisle. We are live right here.
That's right.
In Mr. Carlisle himself, Lance Miller's office. And we're broadcasting from the field. We have about 6,000 Corvettes out there.
Yes.
Many, many proud owners.
Lots of guests walking in.
And if there's one person who knows more about Carlisle events than anyone else.
And he should.
It's Lance Miller.
For good reason, because he's the man.
For very good reason, because he's the owner.
Yeah. Well,
and long, long time experiences here.
Yeah. What? So tell us now, you've been teasing us something about the burnout contest last night. You like, did you see it? Did you see it? And then
I was just teasing you guys. You didn't realize that?
Oh,
well,
come
honestly, it was cool. I didn't see it until later. Somebody told me last evening at a dinner. They said, did you see the burnout? I said, what are you talking about? The burnout. It's
the burnout.
Like a Will Cooksey deal.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what happened?
You're referring, of course, to the Will Cooksey specially prepared burnout Corvette.
That's the stuff of legend.
Yes. Yes.
Very true. And you guys caught the video. You caught it well.
So yes.
we instigated him, and apparently he was already ready to do it.
People still view that. Yeah, they still view that. But tell us about last night.
Last night, okay, the guy comes up. He's like, check it out. I got a great video of this. So I'm thinking, what is this? Did the car blow apart? What happened? So this guy just sits in the car and literally smokes his tires for, it was a good minute.
Wow.
And, I mean, you couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, the big pile of smoke turns bright yellow and orange. Well, guess what that was? Fire. Big fire.
Wow.
I mean, literally blew up in the back. The whole front or whole rear valance was just on fire. So our crew got it out.
Oh, man.
It was scary.
Did he drive that car here or did he?
Well, he's not driving at home.
No.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely not driving at home. Nevertheless, he had a great time. We interviewed him immediately after. So we have that on our Facebook page. And the guy's like, listen, I did this for my daughter. You know, it's something to do with cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was just going to do a huge burnout. Well, he did more than a burnout.
He set his car on fire.
Well, I mean, that's,
was it drivable after that? I mean, if he put tires
on it? Just can't
imagine
it would be.
Yeah, you got to check it out on our Facebook page.
And this is something you cannot call your insurance company about.
No, especially when there's a video of it.
Yeah.
And what did what year car was it?
It was a C5, I know that. I couldn't really see much of it.
Key on was.
The good news is there's a for sale corral over there. He can buy a new one and
that's
drive
right.
it home.
Or he can buy the parts he needs to repair it at Corvettes at Carlisle.
Exactly.
What else has been going on? You had a great dinner last night, I understand.
We did. It was a benefit dinner in honor of my father, Chip Miller, who had passed away
great
from
amyloidosis.
So we started the Chip Miller Amyloidosis Foundation. And in his honor, we decided to hold a dinner throughout Corvettes at Carlisle. Obviously, he's the one that started Corvettes at Carlisle. So it was appropriate. During that evening, we decided to play a short film, never seen before, video footage of the Quest documentary.
Sure.
So a lot of people saw the Quest, and it was a perfect fit. A gentleman by the name of Michael Brown produced it.
Yeah, it was a great video. I saw that.
Video,
it was terrific.
It was so much fun last night. This clip, it actually clued me in a lot of details I didn't even remember, nor did I know about. So
this was a never-before-seen clip of it?
Yes.
Oh,
so
very cool.
He plans
That's
on
terrific.
Putting it on YouTube, so check it out again.
Yeah.
It's called the Quest documentary.
Yeah, we can link to that on our Facebook page too. Yeah, yeah.
So will we.
What else is going on this
what
weekend?
Else is going on? There's a few Corvettes outside.
Yeah.
I saw one or two.
We're estimating it about 6,000. Is that accurate?
That's a good estimate. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's all of them. I mean, the new ones that the folks from GM brought in, they have a huge team with them.
They do. They have an enormous team with them. Last count that I heard, it was 49 individuals. So if you want to know anything at all regarding Corvettes, the new builds, they're here. They're here on hand. They want to get feedback.
Sure.
They want
That's
to answer
right.
questions. And I'll tell you what, that's what makes it the best car out there.
Yeah, because you can't do that.
It's unique in the industry. It's the only manufacturer that I know of that actually really wants to talk to the customers and wants to know what they think, what they want, what they like, what they don't like. You're not going to find the Porsche company doing that.
We don't care what you think. Here's what you
right.
you
will
get.
Drive this car.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, and every time I see the new Grand Sport, I'm sure you guys fell in love.
Yeah.
With
it's a sweet spot
terrific.
Of the lineup, you know.
Oh,
it's perfect.
I'm seeing guys driving around out here. I'm so jealous right now because I love that car.
There were two in the press parking area. I guess they belong to the GM guys. They were the red, white, and blue ones. The white body, blue stripe, and red seats, I believe.
Maybe we should find the key
box. Was that you earlier starting the race car over here? In the garage?
No, that wasn't me, but it was our race car.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
What are you driving tonight at the parade?
I will be taking my daughter, who's 7 years old, her favorite car. Guess what color it is?
I'll bet it's 53.
Come on. Favorite color.
Oh, color. Sorry.
Red?
No.
Carlisle blue, guys.
Carlisle blue. Oh, that's right. Yes. So that will be what you're driving tonight.
Absolutely. She loves that car. And in fact, whenever I go to fire the car up, it says Ella's future ride. So somebody decided to play a joke on me and I kept it there.
Wow.
Pretty cool. We will be right back with more Cruise Control after this.
For the latest updates on Cruise Control, follow us on Twitter at Cruise Control Rad. That's CRUISECTRLRAD. Cruise Control Rad.
Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. Don't forget we're on the web at cruisecontrolradio.com. We're going Facebook Live right now as we speak, so you can check out these videos. And, you know, Les, Corvettes of Carlisle, as we said, we've been doing this for about 15 years. It's always great. And the two guys we're going to talk to next, they've been on the show a lot, haven't they?
They've been on the show a lot. They seem to know an awful lot about Corvettes.
Yeah. I mean, this one guy here is the executive chief engineer.
Yes.
So he would.
I need to speak to him later about engine cooling.
Okay.
This is not a Corvette.
We are talking about Tadj Jukter
exactly. And
Harlan Charles, who was both, I think, Harlan, we figured out 15 years you've been on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I should turn their mics on so we can hear them.
That's probably a very good idea.
The guests are more interesting that way.
Yes, it does.
Although both of them have, you know, the most enviable jobs in the automotive industry, you still actually have to work hard.
Oh, yeah, they do a lot of hard work.
Oh, yeah.
At least Harlan tells us that he works hard. I know. Tadj does as the engineer because
Tadj does too.
You got to make sure this stuff is actually engineered right it can be warranted.
Well, the automobile is the most complicated, regulated consumer product in the world. Mm-hmm. And getting one on the street requires an enormous team and enormous coordination. It's a huge effort over a long time. It's a sustained effort. It's not like you work on a project for 6 months. It takes you 4 years from inception to get it on the street.
And constant improvement once it's out.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so, and being here with all these customers is a huge motivator for us, you know, hearing what they have to say, how they'd like the car improved. So it just it causes us to work even harder when we go back to the office trying to get them the best car we could design.
I think that's so right. Cars and computers are the two things that need to constantly improve.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've seen it over the course of, you know, 100 years in the auto industry.
Just look back 5 years or 10 years.
Well, go back 15 years ago when we were all kind of starting this here.
Yeah.
Look at the technology 15 years ago, which was very good technology.
Right.
But is so incredibly obsolete now.
We were just talking about when we were here 15 years ago, our first presentation we were doing was on overhead transparencies with a projector.
Yes.
That just seems so crazy now.
It's Moore's Law, like computers. It just changes so fast.
At an accelerating rate. There's just every single day, every single business day, there's a new law passed somewhere in the world, a new regulation that you have to meet. So you can imagine.
And we talk about this on Cruise Control a lot about the eventual, maybe these will be global regulations that will mean you build a car here and it can be sold anywhere, and that would make your life easier.
In general, yes. Yeah. You know, we sell the Corvette everywhere it's legal around the world, but you're right, a lot of different countries have their own set of standards based on the priorities in their own country, and it's very tough to meet all, sometimes conflicting, requirements.
Right. Well, let's jump into it. Let's talk about what's new for 2017. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Well, of course, we have a whole bunch of them here. We got the 2017 Grand Sport, which I heard Lance talking about in the previous section. And we're bringing it in earlier in the life cycle than we've done previously. And, of course, this car goes back its heritage to 1963 and Zora sneaking race-ready cars out the back door of the factory and getting caught at it. And so, we've got one of the rarest Corvettes of all time, the original Grand Sport, only five of them in existence.
Wow.
And then we brought it back, for a 1,000-car special run at the end of the fourth generation. That's a very popular collectible car. In fact, there's a whole row of them.
Right.
We noticed that yesterday. Yeah.
People, the owners, are so proud of those. And, it's been a very popular kind of formula. And so for the sixth generation car, we brought it back towards the end of the life cycle.
Very popular. It was the best seller, right?
It was actually the best seller of the last few years. And so it went from sort of a niche vehicle to when we introduced the seventh generation, one of the first questions people asked, we introduced the Stingray, and the next question was, where's the Z06?
Right.
One year later, we got the Z06, and then where's the Grand Sport? So they want everything so quick. So we were talking about the accelerating pace of change.
Sure.
You can really see it just in the cadence of the model introductions on Corvette.
Let's get into some of the specifics on the Grand Sport. I mean, if people don't, what I kind of describe it as, it's kind of an amalgamation of the Stingray and the Z06, and you kind of put it right in the middle.
Yeah, it's got the normally aspirated engine, just like the race car, but we put all the best aerodynamic, the cooling, the chassis content, put the best of everything in that combination. So you get the wide body looks, which a lot of people love. People
wheels
love the
and tires.
Normally aspirated engine. You get the throttle response. It's perfectly linear with the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want 650 horsepower like you have in the Z06.
Who are those people?
Those are the people that can't get the insurance coverage anymore, usually.
For them, it's really the sweet spot. You get all the looks, all the handling. And
the wheels and the tires, to me, really catch my eye. Everyone loves a good set of wheels and tires.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of people put them on their aftermarket wheels on their Corvettes where they go to the GM accessories. You've already done that. It's already engineered in.
Yeah, well, the cup wheel, we call it, it's one of the lightest and stiffest wheels we've ever designed. We put it on the Grand Sport. It actually does affect handling when you have a nice stiff wheel. And, of course, light wheels mean everything in terms of the wheel following the patterns on the road. So the real benefit of the car is it's just so easy to drive and it's so well-balanced. We showed the car to a bunch of journalists at Atlanta Motorsports Park, and we had Andy Pilgrim in, actually representing Automobile Magazine. He still races, but he was repping Automobile Magazine. Mm-hmm. And at a few short laps, he broke the production car track record in the Grand Sport, which is not the fastest car we make.
Right.
And it wasn't like the goal. We didn't know, one of the owners of the track came by. He goes, what did you guys just do? And he's like, that's the best for
we had no idea.
We were just trying to get a good lap.
We were just concentrating on making a nice lap. New things for Stingray, too.
Yeah, new things. We got a lot of new options. We have like red seat belts. We have the quilted headliner, color keyed headliner with the upper level 3LT cars as well. And the colors, we got some really cool colors. We brought back Admiral Blue, Black Rose,
one of my all time favorites.
Which is the Admiral Blue
is
beautiful.
Is that a light blue or a?
It's like a medium navy blue, real.
It's got
rich.
A little bit of red in it.
Just a little hint.
It's hard to picture, but it's got just a tiny bit of purple edge to it. But it's true. It's a true blue.
For the Grand Sport, for example, you get that blue, white, red combo like we did in the 96. But the other thing we've done is there's six different hash mark colors. There's five different stripe colors. So there's 360 combinations. You can really make your own.
That's
make your own statement.
Without even talking about the interior.
Yeah, without even talking about the interior, brake colors, wheels. Like we have red stripe wheels available on all the Corvettes, all the Z06.
They look good. I even saw a C5 coming in here today that had red stripe wheels on it. It looked nice.
Oh, yeah. And we have the black rose color, which is like a dark cherry kind of purplish color. Really kind of cool. We have sterling blue, which is a silvery blue.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Watkins Glen gray. And we actually have on display the collector edition of the Grand Sport, limited to 1,000. And it has that color with this tension blue interior and stripes on the outside. It's a really vibrant, bright, bright blue. And that's the car we showed at Geneva.
That's almost like a callback to the blue interiors of the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of that. That was like a metallic blue. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
very popular. Upholstery. Yeah,
yeah. The brake colors in the interior really made a comeback. For a long time, black was so dominant.
Yeah.
But in the design of the seventh generation car, where it's not all one color, generally it's touches of color, and the shapes that you see in the car are very exciting. So we found red has really spiked up. The adrenaline red has become a very popular option.
Red with black wheels, I think, is probably hot.
Yeah, white car, red interior, black wheel.
Yeah, that's down to the Grand Prix, you get the red hash marks and red calipers, and you know, it all kinds of ties together.
Can you still do weird combos? People like to do that with Corvette.
Yes.
You can order, like...
We call it color override.
Yes.
Like, if you want... Like, we have our recommended colors. Obviously, we want to guide people, you know, and dealers and customers.
I understand that's you. But, I understood. We've heard from Kai, the plant manager, said, yeah, Harlan picks the colors. Is that true?
No.
But we do allow... We take input from these events and go back to the color studio and try to give feedback. Like, there's certain colors like the Arctic White, the Torch Red and Black. I mean, we come out with all these new colors, but those are the oldest colors we have. Those are the top selling colors. All those are classics. So we say, don't touch those. And then the other ones just go nuts. We can have fun and try new things with the other ones. But if you want to override the recommendation, we allow that as an option.
Hold it right there, guys. We're going to take a break and be back with Taj and Harlan after the break on Cruise Control Radio.
Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Standing on a throttle, you're standing on a brake. In a groove till you make a mistake. Sometimes you're the
windshield, sometimes you're the bug. Cruise Control. And welcome back to Cruise Control. Well, we're at Corvettes at Carlisle, and we don't have bugs on the windshield because they go so fast. The bugs get caught in the laminar airflow, and they just go over the car.
That's a new option, bug-free windshields.
That's right.
Right.
But we are still here with Chief Engineer Taz Juchter and Product Manager Harlan Charles. They've been with us for many years. As I said before, they have just wonderful jobs.
I live for Harlan's Facebook page because he's always taking Corvettes cool places.
Yes.
That's all the university.
That. Yeah, that's my life, Taj. That's what I do. I just wait for new posts.
It's a big club.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's right. So it's, you know, it's glamorous.
It is.
You're not going to get any modesty here.
Yes.
I'm not going to deny it.
So the problem, the problem is eventually you're going to ask for, you know, for your own Winnebago, and you want to be the director on the next Corvette.
And
film.
No blue M&Ms in your in your office. Yeah.
and Taz,
no, we still
say,
work for
no.
free.
No. We should also mention you're showing for the first time here, I think, the Z06, 2017 Z06.
Yeah, actually, we're showing the 2017 Z06 for the first time. It's going to start production pretty soon this fall. And some of the new features on there, people can see is we have revised the intercooler cover slightly and added and revised the position of the intercoolers, which makes it more efficient. So you can maintain that high performance. I mean, the Z06 performance, it's among the top supercars available at any price.
Right.
But now on the track, even at really hot temperatures, the car is going to maintain that performance for a full tank of fuel.
Now, we know there was a story about this affected about 5% of the owners, but you guys did a little engineering, a lot of engineering probably, and got right on it. And
well, we're always talking about continuous improvement. You guys talked about that. So we're always listening to the field experience for customers. And,
right.
You know, we're very close with a lot of our customers, and so we understand very well if they're experiencing any kind of difficulties in any area of the car. And so we have lots of feedback mechanisms. And so, we're always trying to make the car better and better.
Yeah. And I think that's just one example. I mean, it was a quick turnaround on an issue that affected a very small group of people.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, it's funny, the internet explodes everything.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
You know, we have customers asking, is it safe to drive my car? It's on a hot day. You know, it's like we have had zero incidents of overheating on street driving, no matter how hot. Through Death Valley, you can be hammering the car.
Right.
It's really only the most elite drivers, very hot tracks, very hot days, who've had any issue at all.
Right. And I was going to ask about that, the internet blowing up with stuff. It's got to.
It's got a mind of its own.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about now. There's other thing people talking about, cars
right,
going around.
Feeds off each other, yeah. And everybody says, well, I heard this and I heard that.
Someone makes a rendering, you know.
Well, the people think that we put that out. That's maybe a clarification we could say that we, Chevrolet and GM, we're not putting that out there. People are like, oh, you guys, I see you guys are putting this stuff. That's all, you know, of course, the media, they want it stories. And we love that the Corvette is the most talked about car on the internet. We saw that in the survey. And we love the attention, but it's all speculation out there.
There are people, conspiracy theory people, that think you build test mules just to drive them around to, you know, freak people out to take a Corvette and put a box around it.
Also, you know, I would be real interested to see how you would convince management to let you spend the kind of money it would take to make a test mule just for the fun of it.
No, it doesn't work that way. I mean, it's a big company. You know, it's a button-down business. It's a bread-and-butter business. So, you know, all these conspiracy theories about how we, you know, try to trick the public into different things. No, we just, you know, we can't disclose our future product.
No,
stuff.
Because you have to have those cool reveals. I mean, you can't just...
Well, it hurts current sales, right? If people know that some great thing is coming in the future, then they'll say, well, I'll wait and see what that is.
And every year there's something new.
Yeah, every year.
That's what we try to do with Corvette. Every year, as you guys have seen, we do something new.
Yeah.
But you make new traditional... that, you know, it's not so radical that somebody would say, well, it's not a Corvette anymore. If you did that, you wouldn't have a job anymore, probably.
But it has to be new enough to keep the whole brand moving forward.
And then you also have the limit of it can't be $250,000.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
We try to keep the car reasonably affordable. You know, we're trying to make the car have its broad appeal. And we talk about bandwidth, a car that's an everyday cruiser, a long distance travel car, hardcore track car. You know, there's so many different ways you can get it. A lot of different customers, you know, that's what helps us keep our sales up.
Yeah, good deal. You know, Kai, the manager of Bowling Green, told me that you guys all went as a team and checked out the NSX plant.
Yes, we did. it was actually, I don't know if he told you, it was a reciprocal.
They came to Bowling Green,
the NSX team, about 2.5 years ago, actually. And, you know, it's kind of an industry thing, sharing information across. Actually, it was manufacturing driven.
I asked him, did you hang like black curtains somewhere or, you know, like
I wanted to
take their cell phones, you know, confiscate
it.
Yeah.
And we're not really direct competitors with the NSX.
No, that's
really a
much higher
dollar car.
Yeah.
And it's a very niche vehicle. You know, it's a hybrid. It's, you know, they're doing something completely different with that car.
Yeah. Yeah. But still. All we get back to a Corvette has performance at those levels.
Oh yeah, I think the NSX around the track handily.
Less than half the price.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And that's being very generous.
I think
you could probably
Grand
get
Sport would beat the NSX.
The what?
I think the Grand Sport would easily beat it.
It could well, especially as it comes from the factory.
Yeah,
I feel a challenge coming on.
Bring it on.
You know, what else have you guys been doing this year? I mean, you're always on tour doing stuff, Harlan. You've been down to the museum?
Yeah, we got a museum event. Labor Day is the Hall of Fame and their anniversary event. I'm on the museum board, so I'll be going down there. It's always good to be part of the museum. And one of the things slightly related is we have all the Z06 engines, LT4, 100% are built in Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think you can build your own engine.
Right.
And now this year we're going to have it set up. So if you schedule ahead of time, you can build your engine, and then the same week you can see it go in your car.
Wow.
At Bowling Green.
So you can stay in the factory, or not sleep in the factory, but you can watch them.
You don't have to sleep in the factory. You can sleep in a nice hotel. But it's kind of the ultimate for a Corvette fanatic, you know, fantasy camp or whatever.
Sure.
You know, you can see, you'll be part of that car. You'll know everything about the building of that car, including you're building your own engine and things like that. And it's really a great experience. Plus now the museum has the track.
Right.
The Motorsports Park, which runs events, they're doing driving schools. So it's really like you look at our area there between the museum, our factory, the track. It's really just a Corvette mecca.
It is a Corvette mecca.
That was one of the things Acura was most interested in, is our relationship to customers and bring them in, having that full experience.
I could learn from you guys.
A car at a dealership. So they're trying to implement some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, big difference though in that car. That's a very low volume, right?
Yeah, like 5 a day they were making.
Any feelings on the Viper going away?
I feel really bad for them.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, they built as many Vipers as you build in 1 year. The whole run of
the whole run?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was always kind of a niche car.
Yeah.
Also, you know, it did its job, you know, for Dodge and an SRT. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough business. It really is.
Yeah.
A very tough business to be in. I'm not talking just performance cars. Across the board, the automotive industry is not for the weak at heart. It's
no.
very, very competitive business.
The other cars, they come and go. You know, Corvette, we've got almost 65 years now of heritage. And we've seen, you know, you look at the Corvette, there's always these challengers. They come and they go. And we've stayed with the times. We don't like locked in, like somebody that, oh, look, this is my car. I can never change it. We always evolve the car to the environment. The car always is, looks truly a Corvette, but you look throughout the years, that's always the fun things. When you look back, you see how Corvette's really part of our culture and how it reacts to what we do and how we keep improving the performance and technology over the years.
Yeah, and as we were saying, there's crossover. We were talking in the first hour, everyone wants to build a lighter car nowadays for better fuel economy, but Corvette's always been building light cars.
Yeah, composite vehicle. We've been doing it since 53. Now composites are kind of top tier. The most exotic sports cars in the world are composite intensive, and you're starting to see that technology, that and aluminum, other exotic materials, magnesium. You're starting to see the very, very high strength steels where you need steel. So we've been a material study. The Corvette has been a material showcase and been a benchmark for lightweight manufacturing really since inception.
What do you think? Is carbon fiber will become commonplace one day as opposed to being exotic?
I wish it was getting cheaper faster.
Yeah.
You know, it is getting cheaper, but, it, you know, we have our hood and our roof are carbon fiber. And that was in a big part to change the production volumes of carbon fiber around the world. Like, we single-handedly changed it by an order of magnitude. You know, the highest volume carbon parts previous to us was like 2,000-3,000 units a year. Boom, 40,000 hoods a year. So we're doing our part to try to drive those economies of scale, but it's still very expensive, you know, a very labor-intensive process.
Taj and Harlan, we appreciate it. We'll be right back on Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine.
Cruise Control Radio goes live every Saturday starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. To listen, click the link on our homepage. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com. Feeling a little dim? Don't blame your brain or the weather. Hazy headlights may be the problem. Hazed or cloudy plastic headlights can reduce your vehicle's visibility on the road, making it very difficult to see the road and for other cars to see you. Now you can restore plastic headlight lenses to like-new clarity with the Lens Renewal Kit from 3M, an easy-to-use solution for removing the yellowing and hazing that reduces headlight performance and visibility. For more information, visit www.3mcarcare.com. I got a new car.
I got a new car. Cruise Control.
And welcome back to Cruise Control Radio, your on-air automotive magazine with Fred Staub and Les Jackson. We are continuing on our Corvette Odyssey, Corvettes at Carlisle. It is just, you know, you never know who's going to show up.
Well, you never know who's going to show up, but you always know somebody who knows an awful lot about Corvettes and especially power plants will show up.
And we have someone like that right now.
Happen to have somebody just like that. People might recognize his name.
Yes, that's right. I mean, you make great Corvettes and other cars.
Oh, yeah.
Even better cars. Even faster, even louder, even stronger.
We love horsepower, that's for sure.
What have you been doing? What's some of the latest things? I know you've been working on the C7.
Well, yeah, we have actually. We got a lot of our engineering done on C7. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but they put the LT1 engine in the pickup trucks initially.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to work on those knowing that was the case. And outside a little bit of embarrassment, people asking what Lingenfelder was doing at the drag strip with Silverados, We got past that pretty quick.
But, little different aerodynamic.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. But we needed to understand how that engine performed in lots of different areas. And so we got a lot of engineering done. So when C7 came out, we were ready to roll.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we talked previously. You guys actually have to go out and buy one, I think. Or do you find somebody that's willing to have their car modified?
You know, we've always gone out and gotten our own cars. And we've got three Z06s, for example, right now. One is a committed mule. And that car has been together and apart and together and apart. And we're trying this, that, and the other thing. And it's an amazing car. We're making real good horsepower. But when we build a car to sell it to a customer, it's not only got to have a lot of horsepower, it's got to have good manners. And we warrant our work, too. So, you know, making sure that Lingenfelder cars keep their reputation, we've got to make sure it's tested thoroughly. So we're making about 800 horsepower.
Wow.
Reliably and actually more than that, but we're just not ready to release a higher horsepower package yet to the public. So
from 650 to 800, where do you pull that power from?
You know, it comes from a lot of areas. We're doing heads and cam work. We're also doing a lot with the blowers and the pulleys and the tune. But, you know, we've got to get more fuel to the engine to get it past 800. That's always been the case. It's the case with the LT1, too. And so we've got a few fuel pumps that we're testing right now that look like they're going to do it.
Now, so, you know, it's hard enough to get the power, but the real trick is getting the power and making it warrantable to run in extremes of temperature, humidity, topography, and it sits around for 99% of the time without being driven. Then you expect it to start up.
In our area, too, the cold. You know, cold starts a big deal, and we've got to make sure they're done. That's why we do all the testing we do. And it's hard work, but it pays off in the end.
Yeah, so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool. What's the most popular when people come in to modify a Corvette? And I guess most of your work is probably C5s and C6s at the current time, or?
You know, it is, but it's amazing the number of C7s that are coming in.
Okay.
I think right now we've got probably more C7s than just about anything else right now.
Wow.
You know, the General Motors is doing an amazing job with the car. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes good power. It's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. I don't think anybody would argue that. But our customers want more, and they're probably always going to want more. And so as a result, we're there to deliver that.
What do most people do? I know you have different stages of...
Yeah, I think in the regular C7, we're changing the blower. Mm-hmm. And we're getting about 630 horsepower with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost Z07 or Z06 horsepower. And in many cases, we'll add the wide body and, you know, change the hood, give them some exposed carbon on the hood. And that's a real popular product right now.
When you're talking about the blower, you're talking about the B&M? I'm sorry, the Edelbrock?
Yeah, we're using the E-Force mostly. Now, we do have some Magnussens we're right now testing. They're very, very good also.
Yeah.
So, and some of our customers are loyal to, you know, Edelbrock. Some are, you know, loyal to Magnussen. So we want to give them what they want.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very cool.
That's amazing.
That Edelbrock setup, I think, is pretty cool the way it
seems to be really well engineered.
It's well engineered, and, you know, you don't have to change your hood. Now, you do on the on the C5. We can't get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the cars, C6 and C7, it kind of fits nicely under the hood. And the Magnussen does also. Yeah.
Stealthy.
There you go.
Yeah. I like that.
I just passed a C5 on the field, and, you know, where those are all great. It's got the old style supercharger on, and I can't help it, but I love the noise those things made.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that
it is. But the fact is, we're from the era when they made that noise, and it feels good to us. But in fact, you know, the newer stuff is far more sophisticated.
Yeah, but I like the old school. Well, I've been around drag racing, and, you know, it's all blower wine.
It is.
Even before that, around Detroit Diesels, where they were using the blower. So
there you go. Yeah, there's a video up on the internet with one of our cars out at Laguna Seca.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the C5 was a great car, but probably didn't corner quite as good as some of the Porsches and things like that of the day. So it would get around the course, and it would probably be behind. But when it got on the straightaway, that car just zooms by, and the noise that supercharger makes still gets to me. So I love it.
Right. And when a car comes into Lingenfelter, pretty much you pull the engine, right? It's easier to work on, I guess.
It really kind of depends on what somebody wants to do. I mean, that's one of the things that we feel pretty good about is, you know, we'll build just about what anybody wants. We've got guys that come in, they want to autocross. Some of them want a drag race, some of them want a road race, and you know, it's a different package for everything like that. There's some guys that just want to go to car shows and pop the hood and show them they got Lingenfelder underneath there and beat on their chest, you know. So it's all fun stuff.
But, you sell them, and those guys just want to buy an engine cover, basically.
You know, we've had that. We've had requests for that. We won't do that.
You won't do that. You have to get some work done. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, so, if you want bragging rights, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. 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 And it doesn't happen very often. But the fact is, you know, we'll be 45 years old next year.
Wow.
If you can imagine that. And so there's a lot of Lingenfelder cars out there.
Sure are.
And a lot of our customers, a lot of the people we work with are repeat guys.
So, right. So they buy a new car and they send it to you right.
Right. But they all even have them drop shipped directly to us to get going on them before they even get the car.
Wow. So what's the website where people should go if they want more information?
It's just Lingenfelder.com.
Okay.
Pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the collection. I think you guys know about that.
I was going to ask you about that because my next thing was to say, but you are a car collector. And
oh, my
gosh.
I'm so far over the top. I think people think I need psychiatric help, but not
any
of these.
So many good ones.
Well, no, yeah. You're preserving history.
I like that. I'll use that that thing to try and buy more cars.
I was watching Velocity one night late, and there's a show called Chasing Cars.
Right.
And there was an Eldorado on there, and the show host was talking like, yeah, I brought my friend along, and I just saw an elbow, and then the shot goes wide, and it's like, oh, okay.
That's right.
And you bought a nice Eldorado.
Well, I did. I bought that car. That's Wayne Carini, and he's a good guy and a good buddy and a wonderful person. Boy, everything you see on TV, that's just the kind of guy he is.
And a 67 Eldorado.
67.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad's plant, ran a Fisher Body plant in Euclid, Ohio.
Body by Fisher.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So I saw those cars a lot when I was a kid and had to have one.
Yeah.
So
any other things that you bought recently?
Oh, we're adding a lot of cars. You know, we got a LaFerrari last year.
Oh, wow.
Ferrari invited us to get a LaFerrari, and I felt pretty good about that. So between, you know, the Ferraris and some of the other cars, but we've got a whole room committed to Corvettes. There's 75 Corvettes in there.
Wow.
So.
You're not the one that bought Carroll Shelby's Cobra, are you?
No. No, that's in another stratosphere for me. I still have to rub nickels together to buy things, but I wasn't going to pass up that LaFerrari offer. So
wow. Anyway. And that's not extended to too many people.
No, they had 500 they built, and they invited everybody. They wanted Ferrari actually chose who was going to end up with their cars. Mm. The other thing, though, it does, you know, there are a number of Ferraris in the collection, but it just goes to show how good Corvette is and what a great bang for the buck it is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these are supercars, and I got to tell you, they're amazing. But Corvettes, I mean, it's always been a bang for the buck and continues to be.
Well, that's what we said to Taj. You not only have to make a supercar, you have to make it affordable.
Right.
Yeah, so,
right.
And that's the key. Corvette has always been affordable to the common man.
Right.
Yep.
And no other supercar has ever been that way.
That's exactly right. I'm driving around a Z06 right now. It's got our first stage package, and that's my daily driver. I love it.
Well, we're going to have to hold it there, unfortunately. We'll have to have this guy back on again and tell you. We appreciate you listening to Cruise Control Radio. I'm Fred Staub. He's Liz Jessen. We'll see you down the road.
Bye.
Cruise Control Radio is your on-air automotive magazine. Go to www.cruisecontrolradio.com for more information.